It's Thursday, August 5th, 2021, and I'm Dave Sobel. Two things to know today. Black Hat stories, plus DHS's new group and MSPs targeted, and vaccination requirements and hybrid work. The Connection. This is the Business of Tech. National Cyber Director Chris Ingalls on Monday made the case for establishing an office within the Department of Homeland Security to track and analyze cybersecurity incidents in order to ensure the nation has an early warning system to understand adversary efforts to target U.S. organizations. Later in the week, DHS unveiled the Joint Cyber Defense Collaborative, initially to focus on combating ransomware and cyber attacks on cloud computing providers. The goal long-term is to improve defense planning between the government and private sector. Included in the group, Microsoft, Google, and Amazon. A Senate oversight report published this week reveals that the cyber defenses of key U.S. federal agencies remains inadequate. Inspectors found essentially the same failures as the prior 10 years. And it's not that the government needs cutting-edge new technology, it's that they have not allocated the budget or organizational will to implement best practices. IBM found that the average data breach now costs companies around $4.24 million per incident, the highest amount in the report's 17-year history. The average expense of a data breach rose by 10% in 2021 over the previous years. Breaches also cost $1 million more on average when remote work was revealed as a factor compared with businesses without this factor. Accenture says there's been a triple-digit increase in cyber intrusions in the first half of 2021, compared with the same period last year. The U.S. accounts for more than 36% of incident volume, followed by the U.K. at 24% and Australia at 11%. Consumer goods and services is the top target at 21% of cyber attacks, then industrial manufacturing, banking, and travel and hospitality industries at 16%, 10%, and 9% respectively. While thinking about attacks, DDoS attacks largely target the U.S., per data from Atlas VPN. In June 2021 alone, more than a third of DDoS attacks worldwide targeted servers in the U.S. Who's targeted? The computer and internet industry, domain providers, web hosts, ISPs, and other online services, as the recipient of 83.2% of all DDoS attacks. The idea? Take out the infrastructure to impact business services. Also targeted? MSPs. Reuters is reporting on statements by the Dutch Institute for Vulnerability Disclosure indicating that having discovered how successful attacks on MSP can be, they are already busy, have already moved on, and we don't know where. Those researchers indicated they have discovered more vulnerabilities in MSPs who have not yet fixed all the problems. And it's not just Kaseya. At a presentation this week at Black Hat, security researchers presented techniques they have developed which lets them hijack Jamf, that Mac-focused management tool. Also from Black Hat, reports from the Coalition Against Stalkerware of a surge in the use of stalkerware in intimate partner violence and gender-based violence. Stalkerware is software made available directly to individuals that enables a remote user to monitor the activity on another user's device without consent and without explicit persistent notification to that user in a manner that may facilitate intimate partner surveillance, harassment, abuse, stalking, and/or violence. Finally, directing listeners to research coming out from the Dolos Group. They were hired to test the security of a client's network. They received a pre-configured Lenovo laptop with the firm's standard security stack and received no test credentials, configuration details, or other information about the machine, and demonstrated they were able to gain access in less than 30 minutes with no soldering and just simple and available tools and hardware. Ars Technica with the write-up. Why do we care? Did that Senate oversight report resonate? Even the U.S. government is not allocating resources. The IT industry seems to be waking up to the fact that it's a target. Sure. Okay. Let's go with that. I highlighted the Jamf story to illustrate that while Kaseya got all the headlines, the more important takeaway is constantly evaluating the attack surface of you and your customers. There's specific tactical advice here too. Getting the basics right is the first step, and so many aren't doing that. Then examine the further repercussions, be it in understanding how to address what the Ars Technica research finds or how to look at the implication of technology on things like stalking. It's a veritable smorgasbord of opportunity, although none are easy. Microsoft is now requiring proof of vaccinations for U.S. on-site work for employees, vendors, and guests starting in September, and they're delaying reopening until October. Real estate firm Redfin is also requiring vaccination, and those who have not been fully vaccinated will work from home. In that context, other firms are also changing their strategies. Twitter, LinkedIn, and Asana have all loosened their strategies about hybrid work per reporting and protocol. Axios has the same story, JP Morgan adjusting their plans, enforcing a daily health check as they stick to the plan to come back to the office post-Labor Day. Axios is maintaining a list of companies requiring vaccination, which has grown to include Tyson Foods, BlackRock, The Washington Post, Ascension Health, and Lyft, plus a longer list already reported here. Bloomberg is covering Amazon's dilemma, a concern that vaccine mandates would cause a mutiny among its workers, particularly those in warehouses. The company so far has held on to its previous plans of loosening safety restrictions and a return to the office for at least 3 days a week in September. Thematically, The Atlantic is saying much the same thing, with a focus on the management styles that thrive and those that don't in changes of work. So too Business Insider, although that focus is on how workers are fighting back. Quoting the article, in June, Bloom and his co-authors asked people who are currently working at least 1 day a week at home what they would do if their employer called everyone back into the office 5 days a week. 6% said they would quit on the spot, and 36% said they would begin looking for another job. Among those who were employed, 60% said they'd be more likely to consider a new job if it allowed them to work from home 4 to 5 days a week. At this point, working from home is so important that respondents valued it as an equivalent to a 7% salary increase. 52% of U.S. workers say they want hybrid work, per McKinsey. 45% of U.S. firms say they want to pursue such a model, according to a CNBC survey. And per McKinsey, 68% of firms don't have a clear hybrid plan in place. And pulling again from the Kaseya IT Operations study, 42% say remote work is a major driver for their 2021 IT budgets. Why do we care? So, continued remote work. What's the rush back, particularly with the level of uncertainty? One of the key items in the Axios articles I pulled from is that employers haven't been clear if hybrid work means work force or work week. Stay nimble. That plan for work, it's changing, but more importantly, focus on things that work for you and your customers and allow you to plan, but also execute in the now. Note how there's more money being allocated into remote work. If you don't know what you're running to, but run anyway, isn't that reckless? Are you still using on-prem file servers and VPNs to share files with remote workers? Ignite is a business-class cloud sharing solution that works more like your on-prem server than any other solution. With a security-first approach to file sharing and collaboration, Ignite offers multiple options for sharing files and collecting files from outside sources. And do it all while addressing data governance and compliance. Want to learn more? Check out ignite.com/MSP. That's EGNYTE.com. And when you do, tell them Dave sent you. Thanks for listening. I went a little longer than I like. I wanted to dive deeper into some of these stories, and a couple of things ended up on the cutting room floor. I will talk to you again tomorrow. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Want to reach our listeners? MSPradio.com/engage.